you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 26-year talk radio host, and you can find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. You can find the show at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. And, of course, you can find us every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time on the Live Paranormal Radio Network at LiveParanormal.com. I also host Haunted Playground here on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific time on the Live Paranormal Network. We're at HauntedPlayground.com. Please check that out as well. And I do 3 video shows for Live Paranormal on the Live Paranormal Video Network on Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, and Friday nights at 9 o'clock Pacific time. And yes, that means I will be here tonight at 9 o'clock giving some spiritual advice, answering your psychic, paranormal, and spiritual questions, and, of course, having a completely fantastic time with you all. That's 9 o'clock Pacific. I'm out of Los Angeles, so everything I do is Pacific time, and that's how I like it. That's how I've been for the last 40 years of my life. Here on Raising the Vibration, we talk about 4 things: ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. I started this show as an outreach for a nonprofit that I started in 2016 to carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane, after her passing earlier that year. The nonprofit is at RaisingTheVibration.org. It's a peace, love, kindness, unity movement. And it's sort of changed my life. It started my ministry. It started my spiritual practice. It started me coming out as a psychic medium and an empath and intuitive. All of it began because of this amazing nonprofit that I sort of got the download from spirit to start to find a way to honor my mom. So every week on the show, I find guests who are people that I love and adore, who understand the idea of service. They understand the idea of love. They understand the idea that everything is for a reason, that we all have a purpose. And they understand that it's all just not about us. Everything we do feeds into everybody else in the world. And we're all here to help, to love each other. So my guests today are no exception to that. Unfortunately, I'm having trouble finding my guests right now, and I'm not quite sure why. They are very, very talented people. You know them from the show on Amazon Prime. It's called Gown and Out in Beverly Hills. One is a wonderful publicist and producer. The other, a fantastic designer and lover of all things artistic and creative. They're two of my dearest loving friends, and if only I could find them, then they could do the show with me today. They are Paula Tu and Patrick Simpson, and I'm honored to have them here today. However, they are not calling in, and I'm not sure why. And I have never actually called someone from this, but maybe I will try it. I've never did it. I wonder if I can do it. We're going to try this. It's going to be crazy because we're doing this on the air, but we're going to give this a try. I've already texted them and asked them to call in, and now I'm on this phone, so I'm not quite sure what else I can do, but they should be here soon, any minute. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think that we have really discovered in our world, I will chit-chat a bit while I wait for them to call in, that this has become a time in the world where you are either for the everything or for yourself. And I'm sure in humanity, there has always been a great divide between people who were for humanity, for the creatures of the earth, for spirit, or for themselves. But I think for some reason, in the last 5 years or so, events on the earth have really inspired us to think about whether or not you are here for the everything or you are here for you. And I talk about this a lot when I teach spiritually, that loving yourself, I always say, I teach a whole class about self-love. It's called You Are Your Own Best Friend. And the basis of that class is that self-love is not selfish. And if you think about it along those lines, that self-love is not selfish, then you also have to think of this in the same regard. Helping the world, being a person of service, being someone who cares about the world, that doesn't mean that you're a person who cannot celebrate life or care about you. Or it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that. It means that you're a person who is focused on the everything. And the everything means taking wonderful care of the world and also taking wonderful care of yourself. You know, it all begins with you. It's like when you're on the airplane and the flight attendant says if the oxygen mask drops, you put yours on first and then you save everyone on the plane, right? It's that idea. So the first thing as human beings on a spiritual path that we need to do is we need to be about ourselves. Are we taking care of ourselves? Are we loving ourselves? Are we paying attention to ourselves? Then the next thing is, are we taking care of the world? That's the next most important thing. Sorry, I'm texting the call-in number again to my guests. So I just want to make sure they remember that it is, in fact, call-in, and this is the call-in number. They're calling now. So I think when you listen to Paul and Patrick talk and you follow some of the things they've done, I mean, they have very successful businesses. Paul is a wonderful designer. They have a fantastic boutique in Beverly Hills. They're a very happily loving couple. They're a wonderful couple, the two of them. They do a lot of things together. They travel around the world. I get dizzy thinking about how much they travel, yet they are also about the world and about helping other people and about making other people feel good inside. And that's really the trick. I think a lot of people believe that service means you give all your worldly possessions, you stop talking to everybody you know, you know, you put on a toga, and you wander the world like the original Kung Fu, not as fabulous as the current Kung Fu on CW. You wander the world like in a toga, and you look upset all the time, and you suck up the world's pain, and you have no fun for yourself. And that's not really what service is, because that's not what Spirit wants from us. Spirit wants us to have a fantastic life of our own, but then also think about ourselves as part of the bigger picture and how we can help people and what we can do to help our friends, our loved ones, our community, our animal companions, how we make the world a better place. So welcome to the show, my wonderful guests and my wonderful friends. It's going to be so good to hear their voices. Paula Tu, Patrick Stinson from Down and Out. Please welcome my friends. It's so wonderful to have you here.
Woohoo! Hello!
Nice to hear your voices.
How are you doing, Sheena?
Hi, beautiful. Hi, beautiful. I introduced you twice because I introduced you the first time and I bragged about you and you weren't there yet, and then I introduced you again.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I love being back about the world.
You know what, you guys? I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Is that better?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
In the boutique, we have certain areas where we have concrete walls and we can't hear the phone. I love the introduction about traveling the world. Exactly.
You have the most beautiful, opulent, decadent. Right. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay. You guys have the most beautiful, opulent, decadent life where you do everything you want to do and you love the living hell out of each other, but at the same time, you devote a lot of your time to caring about people and helping people, and that's really what life is about, right? You have a great human experience, but at the same time, you're helping everybody else, and that is the definition of raising the vibration, I think.
Exactly. And Sheena, I love it. You're right when you said that we do it, because when we do it fabulously, actually. And you were right about that.
And why not? Yes, and why not? I think there's this idea, this misnomer, that serving the universe, right, that being a good person on the earth and a good person in the universe means that you have to, like, be this miserable person who has no experiences of your own. And actually, that's the complete opposite of what the powers that be want for us. They want us to have a fantastic, happy, wonderful life, but also give a shit about the rest of the world, you know?
I love everybody. If they can start just loving themselves a little bit each day, a little bit more, they'll start loving life so much more to enjoy all the fruits of what this world has to offer. And there's so much in it that we enjoy. And thank God I'm paired up with someone as fabulous as Patrick, because it gives me and affords me the opportunity to pursue all these beautiful things that he has in store for me every single day I wake up.
And when you were saying, Sheena, about us giving back and charitable, you know, during the pandemic, we were shut down many, many times, and we started making the designer face masks, and we were donating one for every one that we sold. And then we collected thousands and thousands of dollars of clothing for the homeless, and we tried to bring it to shelters, and they were all closed because of the pandemic. So we actually said, well, we don't want to just hang on to these clothes, so we shipped them to families under the bridge.
And that's a thing, right? That humbles you to see that. I was at a party in Silver Lake one night, maybe 2 years ago, a Christmas party, you know, with many of my fabulous gays. So it was like opulent food, a Christmas tree in every room. And I was going down to drive to my house in Huntington Beach, so I was taking a different route than when I go home to the valley. And so I had to kind of let Waze guide me to the freeway. And I went under this freeway overpass, and I mean, there were probably 200 homeless people jammed under this overpass. And it was pouring rain, which it almost never is here, but it was, because it was Christmas. It was cold. And I thought, you know, we live our beautiful, and we don't think some of our fellow Angelinos are living under a bridge. And you just can't you just can't be a person without empathy that isn't thinking about the rest of the world. So I think it's so beautiful that you guys did that.
Well, it does humble you, but it also puts into the right perspective how life could be so different for so many people in the same place, that we should recognize that not all of us are privileged, not all of us are in the same capacity, and we don't know when we would be them or they could be us. So you just got to help each other along as much as you can, because when you're down, the one thing that I have learned, instead of kicking somebody, give them a hand, lift them up, because someday that'll be you, and you're going to need a helping hand yourself. So it's amazing to know.
Absolutely. And we all have needed that, right? We've all needed. I mean, I'm so thankful for everybody who ever gave me a break or helped me or loved me in either the entertainment business or the spiritual world, both worlds that I work in.
Yeah.
And how wonderful people have been to support my nonprofit. I mean, when you've been in the entertainment business your whole life and suddenly you're 50 and you say, guess what? I'm going to start a nonprofit and I'm going to become a minister and I'm going to come out as a psychic. And I mean, people could have been like, what in, have you gone insane? You need to go get checked in somewhere. But everybody was so supportive of this crazy turn that my life took, all because my mother died. And Paul, I know how close you were to your mom. And I know we've talked about this, and I know you can empathize with this. When she was gone, I suddenly realized there was a hole in the world from her leaving, and someone needed to fill that hole, and it was going to be me. And everybody could have just kicked me right out of my ear, but all of my friends, you two included, were so supportive and so beautiful and so wonderful about the fact that through my life, I completely changed my life. I mean, that's what you're grateful for every day, right? People that love you, people that understand you, and then it's our responsibility. I love that expression that if you're doing well, send the elevator down and bring up 10 people. And I see you guys do that every day, and it's part of what I love so much about you is that, you know, we not only need to be thankful and grateful for where we are, but we also need to think of how can we make other people's lives a little more wonderful.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I think that we're on this planet to not just help our, you know, to help people and to really do what we can. And maybe some people have more of an ability to help others in other ways, but it's not even just financial. I mean, just giving your old clothes out of your closet can help.
Right. Just being, let's start at the real base of, let's just be kind. Just be kind when you see somebody who looks less fortunate, or when you walk into Starbucks to order your $7 coffee and you see somebody who gets paid minimum wage working there, who's like covered in, you know, foam and sweat and looks like they're okay, be nice and ask them how they are.
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes just saying hello to someone and have a good day, or, you know, Paul's teaching the kids at the LA Unified School District. He's got a fashion pathway he created during COVID.
Well, everybody got a job during COVID.
Yeah, he created a fashion design program, and he's teaching it online on Zoom. And every day at the end of his class, it drives me crazy, but he always says it to his kids, "I miss you already," before he signs off. And it's really cute, but it's really inspiring to all the kids. And he's very, he's an inspiration to these kids that, you know, they've been stuck at home on Zoom and they in quarantine, and then they get to see his smiley face on Zoom every day, and he's loving it.
That's wonderful. That's
and kind
so
of
beautiful.
Teaching them, and kind of teaching them, you know, what he is such an expert at. We're blessed that we're reopened again, because we were closed for like almost a year. It was pretty tough.
Yeah.
But
I
we survived. We're in 2021 and moving forward.
Beautiful. I think, Paul, you're a natural teacher. I'm so excited to hear that you're doing that, because I think there's such a loveliness and a gentleness inside of you. You were just made to sort of bring young people up. Can you guys hear
okay,
me?
So
are you
here's
in,
the,
you're in dead spot?
Yeah,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Cut out. No, here's the funnest part of my life now. I've been a successful, celebrated celebrity clothing designer. I love my life. I've been making couture gowns for so many celebrities, red carpets and movie premieres, you name it, weddings, bar mitzvahs, everyone's funnest, most exciting night of, you know, sometimes of a lifetime or once in a lifetime. I've been present at, and I've been there to be able to enjoy and celebrate their successes or their accomplishments. And now I get to share my knowledge. I get to share my energy. I get to share my perspective and design aesthetic and creativity to show teenagers, 9, 10, 11, and 12th graders, how it could be for them if they put their sight and mind into loving what they do, have a passion for fashion, and design, create an entire life for themselves, and see them grow and flourish. I mean, I never thought I would enjoy teaching as much as I love to do now. Every single day, I have over 232 students in the program.
Wow.
And
wow.
I'm just like, every single one I want to connect with. I can't get enough of the kids. I want to know how I can help them. I'm there to assist and provide security. I want to teach them the knowledge about fashion, clothing, texture, textile, beads, manufacturing, all the things that I know, and have them have the same kind of opportunities that I never had growing up, to be able to have a mentor.
Wow.
Or someone that can show you or guide you. Because unless you have a family member who does the same thing that you do, then you've got someone to fall back on. But how do you do it otherwise?
Right.
Very difficult
right.
in high
yes.
school. Like, ninth graders cannot go to be interns. 10th graders are not allowed to be able to get a job or anything. You can't do that until you're 11th or 12th grade. And at that point, do you
right.
really know what you want to do? I'm not sure if you know what you want to do. And if you don't know what you want to do, then should you go to college? Should you not go to college? What do you pick when you do go to college? What are your favorites? And all of those things have now sort of, in my mind, kind of getting resolved and eliminated, because they're like, I want to do fashion. Where do I go to school? How do I sign up? What classes do I take? Look at what I've learned. How do I, you know, build on what I've already gotten the knowledge of? And it's just so nice to see that the young, impressionable mind so connected to something so amazing that's so dear and close to my heart.
And he's having fun doing
beautiful.
It. In between juggling the – I started production of our show again. So we have season 3 that we started filming again.
Wonderful.
And we haven't talked to you. You know that season 2 was nominated by – the American Reality Television Awards for Best Digital Reality Series. So we'll wait.
Fantastic.
We'll find out May 31 if we win. We're hoping.
Awesome. I'm honored to be in an episode of season 2.
Yeah, did you see it? Did you finally get to watch it?
I have been so busy. I haven't watched it yet. I still have to figure out how
to
watch
it. Oh, my God. We put you on TV, Sheena, and you still haven't watched it.
I haven't figured out how to watch it yet. I got the link, and I'm like, I went there, and I'm like, I don't know how to get to it and watch it. So I promise you, I will.
Don't you have
I'm
Amazon
so excited.
Prime Video? Do you have Amazon
I do.
Prime Video?
I went.
Then we'll do a watch
I
party.
Do.
I'm
yes.
going to send you I'm going to send you a link for a watch party.
Okay, I'm so honored to be.
Then
a
all
you got to
do
show.
Is click on the
so
link and watch.
As long as tell them as
tell
long as there's chocolate covered popcorn.
Oh, no, oh yes, exactly. Yes, with the white chocolate and chocolate swirled.
Yeah.
Are your students high school only?
High school right now, yes. Yeah, I'm at Fairfax
so
Senior High School.
So when you were in high school, where were you at? Did you already know you wanted to design? Were you already designing by then? Where, you know, can you sometimes think about where you were at when you teach these kids?
I do. I actually think about it every single day because I was 12 years old when I watched A Love Boat and I knew what I wanted to do, and I didn't even know the words to express what it was that I had seen that I wanted to do. I didn't understand it, and nobody could explain it to me. And then finally my mom said, you want to design clothes. And that's when I started helping her create her gowns and dresses and things to go out and what have you. And then from there, but it was very challenging and difficult going to an Armenian private school where everybody would make fun of me for my lisp or just the way I was, you know, calling me number of names and what have you, obviously, because I was bullied, you know, like because I was a little
sure.
different. I don't think I was different. I think I was just being me. And it wasn't that anybody
yeah.
had to understand me, but you just had to respect another human that was roaming around this planet with maybe a different perspective, a different coloration, a different viewpoint, or maybe just a different journey than what they knew at the time. Because I don't even think they knew.
Right.
But I never had the influences. I didn't have the guidance. I didn't have the mentors. As a matter of fact, I was beaten up. I was berated. I was bullied. And I was told that I'm crazy, stupid, and I need to go to therapy to try to get all this out of me. And so
yeah.
knowing all of that, I look at the kids now and I really want to embrace, you know, the background that they're from, celebrate the color that they are, enjoy the different languages they may speak at home or, at, you know, with their friends, or the joy of life and things that they're into. Things obviously have changed since I was growing up.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to see
yeah.
that it's the same. It's a little bit different because of technology. It's a little bit different because of the different platforms or the accessibility. But honestly,
right.
inside of us, we're still a 12-year-old kid wanting to make a difference or at least wanting to get accepted. by someone
absolutely
who we look up to
absolutely
or who we think has made it or is of noteworthy or that we realize it's something that we want to emulate. That's it. We just want to be recognized. We want them to see us. And I never had that when I was growing
absolutely
up. So one of the most important things that I like to instill in all the kids that I'm teaching is there is, I can show you how to create fashion items. I can explain to you the different techniques maybe. It's been a little more limited and restricting because we'd had to pivot since we're doing online instead of in person. But nevertheless, I've given them so many tools of knowledge that I don't even want to hinder them and say, you can't achieve this or this is the only way to get there. No, there are
absolutely
multiple ways
yep
to get there. You have to find your path. But here's how one of the ways is when you do get there, how to be able to get the return you're looking for. So it's just, it's
yeah
exciting to know that, you know, that I have so many, I have.
Yeah, but I think it's the next step for him to have taken his knowledge and expertise and kind of passed it along and is passing it along now to, you know, to shape maybe future fashion designers of America.
Well, and that's wonderful
and he's
because,
having fun
you know,
doing
every
it
kid, like you were saying, Paul, it's not just about knowing how to get into the business. It's just not every parent gives their kid the permission to be an artist. It's hard for kids
right
who are artists. I was lucky that I had a parent who was all about it and helped me any way she could. But
right
I remember, you know, being in theater and choir with kids whose parents were not supportive of it. And especially, I know, Patrick, you grew up in Orange County where I grew up, an hour south of Los Angeles,
yeah,
for those of you not in the area. And it was a very conservative
exactly
place. And being an artist, there was not a lot of art scene down here. There wasn't a lot of culture. And it was not encouraged to go into the arts. And I remember getting bullied. This is a weird story. Getting
yeah
bullied at my 10-year reunion.
But even look at as an adult, Paul was bullied and beaten up at the fashion show, remember? And that was, and we put that in our TV show.
Yes.
That's on season two. And so then season two, you have to watch the episode. You really do. We did a part of the episode. In part two, we then took part of the Imperfectly Perfect campaign about mental health to raise the awareness for mental health issues. Because somebody has to have serious mental problems to beat the hell out of somebody else. You have to. You just can't
yes
be a sane person for that. And so that was an interesting take on what we did. And it was a way to kind of help us kind of bridge the healing, start the healing process after he was attacked.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
I mean,
and then for me,
stop, right?
No. And then for me on my end, you know, I wasn't physically attacked, but I emotionally was attacked during that night and had to deal with the aftermath of it. And so we decided to include all of that in the TV show. And I like the way it turned out,
good,
actually. That's why we submitted it for Emmys, daytime Emmys this year.
It's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's we that are different, right? There are so many of us in the world that are, quote, unquote, different. We that are different
right
need to rise up and stick together because then we'll realize there aren't that many people that aren't, quote, unquote, different. And they don't have a right to lord over us and bully us anymore.
Agreed.
You know what, Sheena? I feel like we're all individually very unique. And if we can just celebrate our uniqueness instead of putting other people down and recognizing that their uniqueness we can learn from, share within, or even share with others, it'll just make everything such a beautiful, more harmonious, and even the feeling that each one of us has of feeling the insecurities about ourselves would probably dissipate.
I agree. My mama used to always say, all you need is one person to love you and everything will be okay. And I always talk about that on this show, on all my shows, because I think that it was such a beautiful, simple thing. You just need one person to tell you everything you are is okay. And God knows I belong to a lot of fringe communities, but I've never felt like there was anything wrong with me because no matter what it was, my mom always made me feel like I was okay. So I just thought, oh,
that's great.
Okay. And people will come to me sometimes and try to make me feel weird about things, like, well, don't you feel weird about this? And I'm like, well, no, I really don't, because nobody ever told me it was weird until.
Well, see, I love that. I hate that so many people and so many parents are so judgmental of their kids. And I think they're maybe trying to do it in their best interest. They think it is, but it's not always in their best interest. I think as a parent, you just should just support your child. Even if you don't agree with what they're doing, you should just support them.
Yeah. I remember once I was doing a radio show at my last affiliate. But when the first year I was there, and I had some women on that I had known from before, briefly, through the theater world. And I had an actress on who had inherited like $1 million and made a movie with it that she was starring in. And very beautiful. Oh. And with the standard of what people would have thought of was beautiful, right? Very skinny, lots of hair, beautiful face. And during the commercial break, we were all talking. And she said to me, every morning I wake up and all I can think about is how ugly I am. And I thought, well, here I'm this girl, right? I'm a bigger girl. I fought against what bigger girls fight against in this world. Thinking my whole life that, like, beautiful girls have it easy. And now here's this girl who's, like, half my age and gorgeous and weighs 3.5 pounds. And all she thinks about is how she hates herself. And I actually, like, really dig myself. And it made me really think about how there is no marker for who likes and doesn't like themselves. And those of us that love ourselves, we need to help people who don't to get there. Because it's a horrible 100%. Feeling to have everything in the world, right? Money, a movie, an acting career, a great husband, in her case, you know, the body everybody wants, and still wake up every morning and think, oh, I suck. And there's a lot of people out there. And we need to encourage that next generation that's coming up, the generation that Paul is teaching, that this is – we don't need to do this anymore. We don't need to live by these standards anymore. I was having lunch with some old friends, and one of them was talking about how she couldn't wait. She was going to get her implants taken out, her breast implants, that she never wanted them, but that women in her life had sort of bullied her into getting them by telling her if she wanted to be this and that, she had to have these big boobs that she never wanted. And my girlfriend has 3 kids, so I now, for the first time in the last year and some, have kids in my life, these beautiful young adults. And my spirit daughter is going to be 18 next week. And, man, her friends, they don't give a shit. They're all different shapes and sizes. They do their own thing. They let their freak flag fly. And I think it's so nice because, like you were talking about, Paul, when we were kids, everybody was expected to be exactly the same, like a cookie cutter. And now these young kids, they don't care about this anymore. They just want to be who they are. And I think a lot of that is, it's media, right? They're watching shows. They watch your show. They watch other shows. Sure. They see different people and different faces. And they realize everybody doesn't have to be the same person anymore.
Yeah, that's true. 100%.
And I think that's
Thank God, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know what it was like growing up down here, Patrick, right? So it says a lot.
Yeah. Not easy. Not easy.
And Not you're even blonde and beautiful, and it was still a lot. No, everybody kind of had to be the same. And so, you know, I think it's great that the younger generations are teaching us that we need to just let people be who they are. And I think that's very important.
I agree 100%. And that's why, like, when during COVID, I got a lip lift. I felt like I wanted to do my lips. I got a lip lift. I feel like it can go on the other side of the coin, too. If you want to do something to make yourself feel better and look better, then you should be able to make that choice to do that as well.
No, I think breast implants are great. The stories about how she never wanted them, but she felt she had to get them. Because other women she knew who had them basically said, you're not going to really have a career unless you do it.
And that's not necessarily true. Right.
Yeah, I
no,
mean, if you want to get the biggest knockers in the universe because that's what you want, then by all means, literally knock yourself out, pun intended. But to feel like you have to do something or you're not enough of a woman or you have to do this or you're not enough of a man or – it's ridiculous. We all should be able to pick and choose anything we want and look any way we want that makes us happy.
Well, case in point, Anna Nicole, you know, everyone said, oh, she had to, you know, she didn't have to. She liked the way she looked. She liked the statuesque body that she had and the big giant boobs. That was her. That was her personality. And that was the way she got to show who she was. But then people, then you got the other side of the coin where people criticize you for that. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Like you said, love yourself and let someone love you. That's all you need.
Do you think, because I know that you all were close with Anna Nicole Smith, do you think she had a hard time because she just kind of was her own person, right? And she didn't do what everyone else told her to do.
I know she had a hard time for it because she was very smart. She controlled every aspect, and everyone always thought she was a dumb blonde and didn't know this and didn't know that. And, you know, she really pioneered a lot. Like, reality TV didn't even exist until the Anna Nicole Show. I mean, remember that. There was no Kardashians. There was no the only reality show on TV back then was MTV's Real World, and then the Osbournes and Anna Nicole. That was it. There was nothing else. Now you flip on TV, reality TV is on every network channel and cable channel and now streaming channels. It's everywhere.
Well, and how brave of her, because we were all raised as performers, right, that you never tell anything about your real life before reality TV, right? You don't give your opinion.
Right.
You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about religion. You don't talk about your sexuality.
Right.
Like, none of it. For her
and
to kind of literally live out loud. Yeah,
and
to
did
live out
all
loud
of it.
And let everybody see her whole thing. Yeah,
yeah.
She let people see
I
her
respect
whole
her
life.
So much when she got in the – when she got in the courtroom and she was fighting for the money and all of that. And, you know, people criticized her for that, but she knew what she wanted and she knew how to get it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
No, there's nothing. And she, and the bottom line is it was given to her. It wasn't like she was trying to steal something that wasn't hers.
I know.
It was,
I know.
But
that,
again,
that was
we're always
quite shocking to me how that all happened.
Well, I think we have a lot of ways that we judge people, right? Either if you're not pretty enough, you get judged. If you're too pretty, you get judged. If you're not sexy enough, you get judged. If you're too sexy, you get judged.
Right.
I mean, even within the queer community, right? Do you look gay enough? Do you act gay enough? We don't like the bisexuals. We don't like the transgender people. It's like, could we just stop and love each other? That's why the four words for this show are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love are the four cornerstone words.
I love it. I love that.
We have to just keep doing those things, right? And just let everybody be who they are.
I agree.
100% so with you guys, do you ever get because Beverly Hills can be a very conservative, bedroomy kind of community. Have you guys ever had a situation where you weren't supported for something you were doing at the boutique or for the Gown and Out show or anything?
You know, it's really weird. We have a really strong support source because we just love everybody, get along with everybody. We don't cause issues with people. We really didn't. We really have just had great, tremendous support and the growth of the show. Everyone seems to be very supportive of it, which is great. Our show has now been released. It's now released in the UK, Germany, and we just released in Japan. And now, last week, we're being released in Australia and New Zealand. So the show is just exploding.
Wow. And what do you think it is about the show that draws people from all over the world in?
I think the international aspect of me and Paul and the way we play off each other and then getting to see a peek into the behind the scenes of what we do. People love the way we kind of we banter off one another. They love that. They love Snow White. They love watching him sketch. They like a celebrity coming in and doesn't know what dress she's going to have. And then we show at the very end of the, you know, of the episode, a reveal of how that idea and thought came to be a fruition of a final product. And I think people love that because they get the before, the middle, and the end all wrapped up in one neat little tiny package every episode. Plus, we're fun.
I love that. And I think I think that's very much true. And I think people also, like I said in the introduction, I think people resonate with how much you two love each other.
I think so. I really do. Yeah,
I think people, I think as crusty as we pretend to be, at the end of the day, people love love.
I was surprised at how many straight people and straight men watch our show and love our show. I was very surprised at that.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all. I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, here I'm thinking, oh, it's a women's show. It's mostly women, but it's not. We get everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Yes, I'm not the least bit surprised at all. I think it's I think that we've started to get to that place in our world, and my fingers are crossed as I say this, where people are just enjoying what they enjoy, and it doesn't necessarily have to be preaching to their own choir, right? That it's not like a certain show is just for a certain kind of people, that people are now
right.
branching out and learning to enjoy things that have nothing to do with them.
I agree.
And I think reality TV has really helped with that, right? People watching Deadliest Catch or Axemen or this world of people that
yeah.
they probably never would have even knew existed.
Yeah.
And now they watch it.
Yeah.
And I think that's
like even like
the
Naked and Afraid show. It's so interesting
yes.
to me. It's a show I never in a million years thought I would watch or like. But I love it. I love how they just throw everybody out and, you know, it really humanizes you. It really does because it strips you down to your raw nothing. We almost did a TV show actually, which we didn't do, called Stripped on Bravo. And we almost did it. And I don't know why we didn't, but I think it was because it was just going to be too much of an issue. It's where they take everything out of your house. They strip you down naked. They take everything. I think our house was too big and we had too many things for them to do it.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. That's hysterical. And then you have to learn to live with nothing? Is that the idea?
Yeah. And then you get, like, one item. It's a hit show in the UK. And you get, like, one item back. And you get to – you have to do challenges to get one item back. It was only on one season. When I actually watched the show after it came out, I was kind of like, I'm kind of glad we didn't do that, but it was a really interesting concept, and I think if it would have been done maybe a different way. But I loved the whole raw
sure.
aspect of stripping everything away, and then this is what you know, this is what you've got to fight for.
And I think we build things onto us, right? Stuff. Pounds, we get bigger, we
mm-hmm.
hoard food in our pantry, and we kind of cover up for spending a lot of time in our heads thinking about our lives. And when all that's taken away, and I think we've all felt that during the COVID pandemic quarantine, right? Because suddenly
oh, yeah.
there's no more red carpets, there's no more fabulousness, there's no going anywhere, there's no more restaurants, and we've all had to live inside our own heads. And there's nowhere to go to hide from
yeah.
it because everybody's in the same boat. And I think that
was pretty
really
crazy, right?
Changed
it
us.
Was very crazy how that happened. It really was.
Well, you had to think about yourself. We had to, like, you had to think about your life. What do you like about it? What don't you like? How's my relationship? Like, all these things we never put the time in to think about, we had to think about.
So many people broke up during
I
that
know.
Time. I guess you really got
know.
To realize you really love this person and you really want to spend the rest of your life with this person. And if you didn't, then that was the perfect time to say, hey, this is not working for me. And I think a lot of people really found themselves during that time.
Yes. Yes.
And they
yes.
didn't want to. I think a lot of people didn't want to find themselves, but they had no choice.
So I'll tell you an interesting thing that happened with me, and it started before this, but this made it just hit it home, is that I was in the process of eliminating people from my life that just didn't really belong there. You know, and I'm sure you and Paul did with this every day. When you have a lot to give, and even if that's what you have to give is energy, they're always going to be kind of
right.
the vampires around, right, waiting to see what they can get. And I think because when you grow up in the entertainment industry, you kind of grow up with this ideology of, well, take whatever you can get because you might not ever get anything else. And that transfers over into your private life, and you just kind of hang out with people because you think you have to. Like, well, what if I say no and then there aren't any other friends down the line? Well, the quarantine was suddenly we're all separated, and I basically saw nobody but my girlfriend, the kids, and the cat and the animals for like a long time, for like 9 months.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about, well, when the world opens, who do I want back when it's all over? And who am I kind of glad they're gone? Because really, our whole friendship was based on what they could get from me. And that doesn't mean to be like, I'm so fabulous. It just means I think there are a lot of people in everyone's life who are just around to take and not to give. And my promise to myself during quarantine was moving forward, whether it was friends or work situations or events, it was only going to be situations that were a two-way street, give and take, and that I actually felt good afterwards. Because life is too short to not be feeling good about what you're doing with your life.
I totally agree with that 100%. I really do.
And
I think it makes,
I don't know
I think
if I
it opened
those
my eyes personally.
Opened your eyes
totally
to what,
did.
Sweetheart?
To
that same kind of
some
thing?
People that, to like who your real friends really are. Who do you really want in your life after the quarantine is over? Who is going to be there for you? Who called me? Who messaged me during the quarantine? Who didn't care? Like, who you really got to see.
Yeah. Who asked how I was? I don't know. Yes. I agree with you 100%.
There's an event I'm going to. It wasn't that. It was just, hey, how are you doing?
Yes. Yeah.
And not just celebrities,
well,
for friends, celebrities, everything.
Yes. Exactly.
It was good. It was a good opening.
What I realized that was really a strange thing was a lot of my celebrity friends were the ones who reached out.
Yeah. I talked
to a lot
of them.
And it was a lot of my non-celebrity friends that didn't. And it makes me wonder if
I would probably agree with that. Yeah.
You know, so I just decided now I'm going to pick and choose what I want from my life as far as people in it. And, of course, you guys
I agree.
Are
and
people
you know,
in it. 'Cause you're
and,
here.
You know, during season three is going to be very sad for us because season three we filmed with Dr. Simone. That was my plastic surgeon that died from COVID in December.
That was horrific.
He did my facelift, and then he did my lip lift. He did my cheek. Like, he did everything. I was in there all the time. Love him. He was a great friend. And he's on our show, so we're going to turn the episode into a dedication to his life and his memorial. We did a memoriam,
beautiful,
like, at the very end of the episode. And then we also filmed with Mary Wilson. You know Mary from The Supremes.
Yeah, I love
you know that
Mary
was so horrible,
so much.
So sad when she passed away because she was so nice
right.
and so just always. And so we filmed with her for season three, so we're going to dedicate that episode to her as well. So it really season three is going to have a lot of tears.
It was scary to lose so many friends from COVID.
So scary. It
my
kind
dear
of reminded
friend Don
me
well.
Of the AIDS crisis. Remember the AIDS crisis?
Yes.
How many people
yes.
we lost? Gone every other day. And that kind of, that was the same feeling I had with last year. Same feeling.
And you know, I'm a pastor at the Founders MCC, and MCC, of course, founded in the late 60s by gay folks who still wanted to be able to go to church but have the freedom to be who they were. So a lot of the members of my church are older guys, you know, that next generation up from us that was really hit by the AIDS crisis. And I could see when COVID was starting how horrible it was for them because it was like a reboot of it, and it was terrifying, and it reminded them all about what it was like, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's awful. Oy.
Scary. How have you grown? I mean, I think in every bad thing, there's a good thing. So for you, what was the good about having to deal with the quarantine?
You know, I think the good was that Paul and I really just kind of reexamined and our lives and realized how much we really do love each other. And we decided we're going to get married officially next year. So that's going to be kind of exciting because we've lived together. We've been together for 19 years in July, and we've never done the official wedding. So that was kind of something that was kind of interesting and exciting to come to terms with. But really, we just realized that at the end of the day, two of us are always there for each other, always. And that was really nice to have that strong support system with each other.
I love that. I think that is so wonderful. Now that we're going to be let out, because I think probably July they will let us out. what do you guys want for next year? I mean, what do you really hope to? How do you hope to make a mark on the world next year? Because I know you two are always looking to make a mark on the world.
You know, I think our mark is going to be just to live every day like it's the last and just live life to the fullest as we always have. But I think taking it even more to the extreme, do things we've never done, challenge ourselves a little bit more. Paul taking this job at the LAUSD for Fairfax was a big challenge for him. I think things like that. I think we really want to just challenge ourselves more and really just reach even higher for the stars if we can. And I know we can.
Do you think that your life will be even more give back for having survived this?
Always. Always. Yeah, we always. Always. Yeah. Charity and giving back is always going to be a part of who we are, no matter what. That's just the way we were both raised.
And the masks are fabulous. I so appreciate that you sent me masks. They're the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen.
Aw, thank you. I'm glad. Everyone loves our masks.
Now, how long
everybody
have you been open?
Masks.
And how long have you been open? And are people actually
open
coming
one
in
month.
And getting fitted there and everything?
Oh, my God. It's just absolutely insane. Every night he's working on gowns. Everyone that had to reschedule their weddings, they all rescheduled them. Last week we had a mother and bride. This week we've got two mother of the brides and a friend going to the wedding, and then three other weddings this week. It's just been extremely crazy busy. And I thought that last year when we were closed for so long, and then, you know, we got broken into during Black Lives Matter, civil rights, the movement, the civil unrest when they came in and did, you know, and broke into all the stores and looted everything. They looted our store. They vandalized, took everything. But, you know, we survived it. We survived it. And even after they did that, we put a thing on our window outside that says we support peaceful protests, because we do. We do support the peaceful protesting. And we always do think people should have an opinion and speak their truth and live their truth. But I think that now that we're reopening officially, I think it's going to be crazy. I think people are going to go gangbusters. Everyone's going to want to wear a suit and a tie, and the women are going to want to get decked to the nines. I think it's going to be as big as the Roaring Twenties was.
I agree. I think it's going to be huge and crazy and absolutely unbelievable.
Exactly, and I
in
love that because it helps us.
In the most unbelievably decadent way.
Exactly.
I love you, too. Will you come back and do this again? I would be honored. And where can people find you online?
They can find me at Patrick Simpson, PatrickSimpson. They can find
Paul Attu, PolAtteu. And by the way, I'm going with my 6-inch stilettos and my beaded evening gown to go grocery shopping now.
And Snow White 90210.
You know,
and of course, the show is Gown and Out in Beverly Hills, and it's on Amazon Prime Video Roku, Vudu, Pluto. Oh, my God. It's on so many different platforms. Beautiful.
And please tell your beautiful little Maltese Snow White that I miss her biting me. No one has snapped in my face since COVID began, and I can't wait until she does that again.
She's got her ears.
I love you both so very much.
She's looking. Thank you for having us.
I can't wait to find that bitch and snap in her face again. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. The wonderful Paula Tu and Patrick Simpson, what a joy to have them. It's raising the vibration. Till I see you next time, my friends, please ascend, evolve, inspire, love. If you want to check out raisingthevibration.org, a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity, please do that. Please come to me for all your spiritual needs. If you need me for anything, readings, healings, anything, crystals, I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. You can find about all of it there. I'll be live tonight on the Live Paranormal video channel at 9 o'clock Pacific time. Please check me out there. And then back here tomorrow at 6 o'clock Pacific time for my Haunted Playground radio show. How much do I love being part of the Live Paranormal family? I love it beyond measure. Check out my friend's show, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. They're wonderful, these guys, on the Amazon Prime channel. Season 2, I'm in an episode. Look for me. You can't miss me. I think you are all so wonderful, and I appreciate you listening. Please check out liveparanormal.com. That's the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Also check out raisingthevibrationradio.com for this show, and, of course, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for me. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and please, my friends, always, always, always raise your vibration. I would absolutely love that. I am Sheena Metal. This is Raising the Vibration Radio, and you know what? We'll see you next week.